Amen. Let us pray. God of love, you establish your realm of mercy and justice, your empire of grace. Speak your word to us now, that we may be formed in the image of Christ. Amen. A reading from Galatians. My friends, if you see someone do wrong, by the Spirit you've received, restore them with gentleness. Help them out of that pit. Don't climb into it yourself. Bear one another's burdens. That is what the law is really about. Don't embarrass yourself, thinking you're better than others. Do work you yourself are proud of. Don't fuss about your neighbors. Live your life, not somebody else's. Those who are learning in the Word should share with their teachers. You might be deceived, but God isn't. You reap what you sow. If you sow desire, you will reap more desires. If you sow spirit, you will reap spirit. And it's eternal life. So don't grow weary of doing good. Whenever you have an opportunity, work for the good of all, especially those in the family of faith. Thanks be to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's Gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus appointed 70 people and he sent them out in pairs to all the towns where he intended to visit. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the overseer will send laborers into the harvest. Now, go your way. Be aware, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no bag, no purse. Don't stop and visit along the way. Whenever you enter a house, right away say, 'Peace be upon this house.' And if there's someone there who shares in peace, it will rest on them. And if not, it will return to you. Remain in that house and eat and drink whatever is put before you. Laborers deserve to be paid. Don't wander from house to house. When you enter a village and they welcome you, eat whatever they give you. Cure the sick who are there and tell them the reign of God has come close to you. If you enter a village that won't receive you, just go out into the street and say, 'Even the dust of your streets that clings to our feet, we wipe off, we let go of you.' But still, tell them, 'The reign of God has come close to you.' The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this mistake we've been making for 3,000 years. It's woven right into our religious tradition, and that is that the purpose of religion is to make you a better person. right? If you believe in God and follow God's laws, then you're a good person. At least you're good enough, and you get to go to heaven when you die. I don't think that's the way it is. That's way too individualistic. God didn't create a world of individuals who one by one may or may not be good, may or may not go to heaven. God created a world. And the purpose of religion is to help you belong to that world. The word religion is related to the word ligament. To religion is to re-ligament, to re-link us with the whole world. The purpose of religion is for us to fit into all of creation. God didn't make a bunch of individuals. God made, and this is not a metaphor, an ecosystem. And it doesn't matter how good you are as an individual. It matters how you fit in to the ecosystem, right? A lion may be a mighty hunter, but won't survive in the Arctic tundra because it doesn't know how to fit into that world. Paul talks about these two different ways of seeing the world, and he calls it living by the flesh and living by the spirit. When we live by the flesh, you think of yourself as being this isolated individual, defined and contained by this bundle of flesh. And we're all like these separate little bundles. We're separate packages. We're all just like packages on a freight truck. And you hope that you have something worthwhile in your package so that you get delivered to heaven, and that's all that matters. And the packages don't have anything to do with each other. But when we live by the Spirit, we understand that we're all part of one organism. We all belong. And the purpose of our religion and the purpose of all of the laws of God and the heart of Jesus' teaching is not just to be a good individual, but to be in good relationships with everybody else, to serve the whole community for the greater good. All of Jesus' teaching is not about being a great individual. It's about being in relationship with the whole creation. The purpose is not to be a good package on the freight truck, but to live as a part of what is greater than we are. In that way of thinking, there's nothing particularly great about a lion that isn't also great about a vulture or an ant. They each have something that they contribute. And they each play their unique part. And your work is not to strut around saying, I'm a lion, so I'm better than vultures, but to figure out what it is that God has given me that enables me to contribute to the whole. Because God's interest is in all of creation, the whole thing, not just each one of us individually. So when Jesus teaches us, it's not just about how to be a great individual. It's about how to re-ligament ourselves, how to reconnect with the greater community. It's not about being right. It's about being loving. So when he sends these disciples out, they're in Galilee, right? They're heading south to Jerusalem, and they're going to have to go right through Samaria, where people have different dietary laws. And he says, you know what? When you go and stay with them, forget about keeping kosher. Just eat whatever they give you. It's not about being right. It's about being loving. It's about getting along with people, even when they aren't getting it right. So if you go to a village and they won't receive you, that's okay. Just brush it off. Literally, he says, brush it off. But you still have to tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to them. You still have to be respectful of them. Because we're all in this together. So Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says, if you see somebody who's doing wrong, don't jump on them, don't criticize them. That doesn't help. Help them. Bear one another's burdens. Help them. Correct them with gentleness. That's what the law is all about. Don't get caught up thinking that you're better than other people. There's no such thing. There's how we love one another. That's what matters. How do you help even the people who are going wrong? How do you find out your own gifts and do work that you can be proud of because it's your work, whether you're an ant or a vulture or a lion. And then you can live your life, not fuss about theirs. It's all about how we look for opportunities to serve the greater good. And when you belong to that greater good, that's something to be proud of. So if you are a member of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, you can be proud not because it's the greatest orchestra in the world. There's a lot of great orchestras in the world. You can be proud not because you're better than all the other musicians. You can be proud because you have been given a gift that is in harmony with all these other gifts that makes the whole world more beautiful. That's what matters. I think that's how Jesus and Paul would want us to think about ourselves. So it's not necessarily sinful always to be proud. There is that sin of pride when we start thinking, well, I'm great and you're not. But it's not about that kind of pride. It's being proud of the gifts that God has given me and then working hard to discern those and share those for what is greater than me. I think that's how Paul and Jesus would like for us to think about ourselves. And I think that's how they'd like for us to think about our church. We don't have the greatest religion. We don't have the only way. There are lots of other ways. There are lots of other orchestras. There are lots of other congregations. And what makes a denomination or a congregation really good is not that we're better than others. If we want to live by the flesh, then we'll count our members, see if we're growing, see if our worship attendance is increasing, see if we're getting more money, see if we're balancing our budget, see if the building looks nice. You know what? God really does not care. God really doesn't care. Because God didn't make a world to be a nice place for a pretty church with a balanced budget. God made a world. And what God cares about is that this church or our entire denomination discover what the gifts are that we've been given to give for the sake of what's bigger than us. We discover that and we work on that, and working on that serves the whole creation. Now, there are some gifts that each of us has been given. There's some gifts that our church has been given that we're still working on. There are people who've been given the gift of singing, but they've never gotten trained and they can't sing very well. But they actually have beautiful voices. Well, they're working on that. And working on it is a contribution to the whole world. There are churches that have gifts that we haven't quite perfected yet. But working on it is a gift for the sake of the greater community. There are things that United Methodist Church is getting dead wrong. That's all right. We're working on these things. We're struggling with them. And our facing them and struggling with them is the process of discovering what the gifts are that God has given us for the sake of the greater good. And of that, we can be proud, not because we're better than other churches, but because we're contributing to something beyond ourselves. I think that's how Jesus and Paul would have us think not only about ourselves and our church, but our country. There are people who live by the flesh who think that what's great about America is that we're great, right? And this weekend, you'll see them out there driving their pickup trucks with their great big 6-foot American flags, beating on their chests, saying, "We are number one, USA, USA." That's living by the flesh. That's trying to be great for no purpose other than that we get to be great. God really doesn't care. There are some people who would say that God loves America more than any other country. Not only is that blasphemy, but it's also just plain not true. God didn't create this world for one country that comprises 6% of its population. God made an entire universe and created each nation to contribute to the whole. That's what God wants. God wants the whole symphony, not just one section, not just one note. So the way we can be proud of our country is to discern the gifts that we've been given to share for the sake of the common good, what is beyond our country. And there are some things that we have right about that, and there are some things that we don't, but struggling with it is what contributes to the whole world. There are some really splendid things about this country that are not necessarily greater or number one. They're just splendid. That's good enough. You don't have to be a unique ant to do the work of ants and make the ecosystem work. We don't have to be the greatest country in the world in order to make a great contribution. We do have to discover what are our gifts that we've been given to share with the world. For instance, this is the only nation that I can think of that was founded on an idea, which is liberty and freedom. Most countries are just territories that became a country because people expanded into them and they all had some ethnic commonalities and they sort of created a community and said, oh, what do you know, we're all Dutch. Oh, what do you know, we're all Japanese. We'll be a country and we'll call it Japan. This is a country that wasn't founded by an ethnic expansion. It was founded by people saying, let's create a different kind of country. That's a pretty cool thing. A country that's created on purpose to be a country about freedom and liberty. Now, Lord knows, we haven't gotten that right. We created this country by stealing the territory from the Indians and doing as much genocide as we could pull off. Okay, so we didn't get that part right. We built this country for 300 years on slave labor. Okay, well, we got that part wrong. But it's what we're working on. We're still working on it. But working on that, tending to what our gifts are, and doing the work of seeing to it that those are the gifts that we share with the world, that's what patriotism is. It's not chest beating and saying we're number one. It's saying here's what we have to offer. And it might be that every single one of those gifts other countries have to offer. Could be. Right now, we could learn a lot about liberty from other countries. We have more people in jail than North Korea, and North Korea is one great big huge concentration camp. We have more people per capita in jail than they do. We could learn something about freedom from other countries. There are a lot of ways in which we're number one, like arms exports, that doesn't necessarily create well-being for the greater good. It basically makes a few people rich and causes a lot of wars. But what we do have to offer doesn't have to be unique. It doesn't have to be the best. It just has to be who we are. We can offer that to the world. Watch this. This summer during the Olympics, one of my favorite things, during the opening ceremonies, you see all these teams march in, and all those teams from France, they all look pretty French. And the Nigerian team looks like they're all Nigerian, you know, and the Japanese team comes in and they're all Japanese. And then the American team comes in and they all look French and Nigerian and Japanese and Bolivian. We're everything. That diversity is something that we have to celebrate and to offer to the world. And yeah, there are people who don't like that. There are actually billboards that have now appeared that, quoting a well-known TV personality a little bit, say, make America white again. There are some people who don't get it. But struggling with that is what makes us great. Working on that is what makes us great, just like it does to each of us individually. Thinking that you're good at something doesn't help, but working at it is a gift for the greater good. So what better way to celebrate being proud of ourselves and being proud of our church and being proud of our country than to come to the communion table? Because at this table, nobody's great. Everybody's beloved. Everybody belongs. Everybody gets a piece of bread. Doesn't matter. You have a gift to give, and the differences don't matter. Better or worse don't matter. Everybody's invited. Around this table, everybody on the whole planet gathers, and we all belong. And Jesus gives of himself for us as a model of how each of us discovers what we have to give of ourselves for the greater good. And that becomes our model for what it means for us to be a church. That we discover the gifts that we have and we give of those gifts for the greater good. And that becomes how we see what it means to be a great country. To discover what the gifts are that we have and to give those gifts for the greater good. Even if it involves a lot of self-sacrifice. That's part of what this bread and this cup are all about. Jesus gave enough of himself that he didn't get it back. He gave enough of himself, in fact, that he died. Think of a church that was so effective in ministry, so out there in mission, that it just ceased to exist anymore. Because everybody was out changing the world. Think of a country that nobody even noticed because they gave such rich gifts to the rest of the world that the whole world was blessed and nobody even knew where it came from. So we come to this table to discover how we are given gifts for the sake of the common good, the greater universe that we belong to. And this tremendous power of God enables us to give those gifts. We receive and we give, and the world is blessed. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the gifts that you give us to share with all the world. Give us gifts of gratitude. Help us to discern the gifts that we are given. Help us to give ourselves for the sake of that which is greater than us. God, for your infinite grace, we give you thanks. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings. To be mindful of your presence. To listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us. Surrendering everything to your love. To live in harmony with your grace. Amen.